countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Caller Gas, celebrating 80 years, bringing energy to Ireland's homes and businesses.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. This morning I'm standing here in beautiful Glasslough, nestled in the drumlins of North Monaghan by the Green Lake, from which it gets its name. Glasslough is celebrating a year of fantastic achievement, because this year, this village was named Ireland's tidiest village. And then, to the great joy of everybody, because it seems to me that everybody here is involved somewhere or another, Glasslough was named the overall Tidy Towns winner. And the tidiest town in Ireland is ready for Christmas, with the stone-cut houses and shops along the main street, Diamond and Barrack Hill, decorated with lights and living Christmas trees. Right now, I'm standing outside the Oakland Community Centre, and this morning, we're going to bring you stories from the village with a flavour of the festive season sprinkled on top. It's a tidy village, a heritage village, a border village, and a village bursting with enterprising good ideas. But first, as I make my way inside, the choir of the Glasslough Musical Society is getting ready to sing. When you hear that. Good morning, Glasslough.
Good morning.
Hey, you're awake. Thank you very much for coming, getting up so early and coming in and giving us such a beautiful welcome to this beautiful part of the world. We're inside here in the hall, lovely and warm. We've just had our coffee and our scones with a lovely jam and lovely cream as well. We're in farming country and we'll be talking a little bit more about milk and cream and ducks and all of that a little bit later on. But it is, of course, Ireland's tidiest village. Not for the first time, though, and it had to begin somewhere. So the woman that I suppose started it all is sitting right here in front of me. Alice Connolly, good morning.
Good morning.
Take me back to the 60s.
I saw the ad in the Irish press.
Right.
For Tidy Towns, organised by Bord Fáilte. And I said to my husband, Paddy, we had just moved into Glasslough the year before, and I said to my husband, we should enter Glasslough in the Tidy Towns.
When was this now? 60?
66.
66, right. And actually, I think that was the year that Ballyjames stuff, where my people come from, actually won it, now that you mention it. So you entered the Tidy Towns.
Yes.
Didn't win, but you kept at it.
Kept at it.
Right.
Every year.
Right.
And in 78, won the All-Ireland Award.
Like, perseverance pays off.
Yeah.
You didn't get it the first year, the second year.
And
it took you.
Also, Bord Fáilte organised in those years that any national winner would plant a tree in the Phoenix Park.
Right.
And they invited myself and my husband Paddy up to the Phoenix Park. And I have a photograph here showing Paddy planting the tree, and with President Hillary and all, and Bord Fáilte staff.
I can see that, yeah. President Patrick Hillary, remember him well, of course, standing there. That's Paddy and yourself planting a lovely little tree.
Yeah, and Bord Fáilte put a plaque at the bottom of every tree that was planted with the year that the national winner and the year they won.
And the name and the year. And did you ever go back?
We went back 5 years ago.
Right.
To see the tree.
Yeah.
And that's Paddy standing at the tree.
Wow. Look at that. So you found it.
Yeah.
Well, this picture's in colour, by the way. The other one's in black and white. But there was a little tree. Now there's the big tree, yeah. And that's in the Phoenix Park. And at the bottom of it, a plaque commemorating that great win back in 78.
Yes.
So you must be absolutely delighted then, again, I suppose, to reel in the ears in 2019 when you heard that you'd recaptured the title.
Yeah. It's great. Wonderful.
Great. Well, I'm going to move on.
And I must say, it's a great community in Glasslough.
Yes.
And I'd also like to thank Louise and Gareth.
Louise and Gareth are here.
I know.
Yeah, we're going to have a chat with them.
But they are very good. And also, Louise's father, I'd have to compliment him.
Yeah.
Paddy McGee, a man of many talents.
You're like Barry McGuigan, you know, thanking everybody. The programme will be over. Gareth, how are you? Gareth Corrigan, you're the current incumbent of the chair. Congratulations.
Thanks very much and good morning to you as well.
You were kind of saying to me earlier on, I said, what is it like to win the Tidy Towns? And you said it's like winning the All-Ireland.
Well, as you can see by the shape of me, I'm not into much football or anything like that. And I'm not that great at music, so there's All-Irelands for all them different organisations. Yeah. But for Glasslough Tidy Towns, this is our All-Ireland.
Yeah. Well, you needn't be dependent on the county team for an All-Ireland anyway.
Well. Oh.
I'll get my coat.
Yeah. Well, I suppose, it's the first All-Ireland to come to Monaghan, I suppose.
You know,
but it is like winning an All-Ireland. It's a massive accolade and we're very, very proud of that.
And now you've got a taste of it. Are you going to go for two in a row?
Oh, want more, yes. It's like the Dublin. It's like Dublin. We'll go for five in a row. We have already started our plans for 2020. We've already started our application for 2020. But by no means are we lifting the throttle at all. We're just going to keep there. We'd like to keep up there with the best of the best.
Right. Louise is beside you, Gareth. Louise, good morning, and thank you for your help in organising this morning. What's involved in making the town tidy?
Good morning, Jimmy. Tidy Towns, you know, for many years, well, you know, people would associate your flowers and your flower beds and your litter. Those are just two categories in the Tidy Towns competition. There are actually eight categories. And the areas in which, you know, obviously we focus on those, but you really need to concentrate your efforts on your biodiversity and indeed your sustainability.
Yeah.
And here in Glasslough, we have a Greener Glasslough campaign, and we have a website and a Facebook page and all the online social media for promoting greener living.
You talk about green, of course, as I said at the beginning, Green Lake. So it's all about greenery around here, and great to hear that sustainability is so much at the centre of it. And Louise, Alice there mentioned your dad, Paddy. Where's Paddy? Hi, Paddy, how are you? And I see sitting beside you there is Gerard Tolan. The reason that I mention both of you is because, Louise, a song has been written about Glasslough.
Yes, indeed. Back in 1978, when Glasslough first won the National Tidy Towns competition, Dad actually, I think he went into, say, a toilet or somewhere and wrote the song. While everybody was celebrating out in Multifarnham, he was in writing beautiful Glasslough. So we've been singing it ever since, and I suppose in the last 2 months since we've won, it's been
re-released.
A lot of airplay.
Well, can we listen to the 2019 version?
Yes.
Is that possible? Yeah, you're going to lead them off, Gary Corrigan.
Yes, I'm going to lead them off in a verse and a chorus of Beautiful Glasslough.
All right,
again,
love to hear it. Fire ahead there. Way you go, Paddy.
In the midst of old Ireland, there stands a small village. A rival's the best you can find, where beauty and friendship embraced one another, and troubles are left far behind. You can stand in the diamond and gaze at our buildings, our forefathers built with their hands. But they'd never have guessed that one day they'd be blessed with the loveliest spot in Ireland.
Have you ever been to Glasslough in the evening, where the twilight sun is shining through the trees? Have you ever been to beautiful
Beautiful Glasslough, sung by Gareth Corrigan along with the Glasslough Musical Society. Will you stay with us, folks? We are here in Glasslough. It's an unusual village in that there is almost an even split, I suppose, between the two communities, between the Catholic and Church of Ireland and Presbyterian populations as well. And I'm delighted to say joining me now is Reverend Lorraine Capper, who's the rector of St. Salvator's Church. You are singing along there, Reverend. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Tell me a little bit more, I suppose, about, if I can call it, the religious makeup.
I have to say, as a community, we work very well together in a lot of things we do together. We have the Donagh Community Choir, which is a mixture from everyone from the community. We gather around the Christmas tree at this time of year and sing carols, because we can all join together and do that and have a great time. And then at harvest time, we also had an ecumenical service this year. St. Mary's hosted it, but I was invited by Father Hubert to preach at the occasion. So you can imagine I had a great reception being a lady preaching in the Roman Catholic community.
Well, who knows, that could be maybe a sign for the future. We won't go into that conversation here this morning. But that's for another day. But it's very much a family business for you, isn't it?
Absolutely. My husband is ordained. He is the rector in Lisnaskey. And then when I got ordained, myself and my sister, we were the first two sisters to be ordained within the Church of Ireland. She is the Reverend Joanne McGarrell, and she is the rector in St. John's in Moira.
Now, when we talk about this part of the world, of course, a little bit at the back of our minds is Brexit. It's still there. You're somebody that's straddling the border here, crossing over and back. Is it something that obviously concerns you from that particular perspective, that, you know, you're travelling from here to Lisnaskey over and back?
Oh, yes. Well, it is going to affect me. How exactly it is, I'm not exactly sure. Mm. Because I think there's been a lot of scaremongering out there, and people are afraid when they're unsure of their future. And suppose there is that element of uncertainty, but I'm sure it'll all work out okay. I'm not going to worry too much about it.
Ah, no. Well, not this side of Christmas anyway.
Absolutely.
Speaking of Christmas, it's a great time for, obviously, for all the good children around the country. Santa is packing their presents, and, you know, we're all rushing around, and the supermarkets are full and the shopping centres are full, and we're getting ready for the big day on the 25th. From a spiritual point of view, it's probably becoming less influential, do you think?
Well, I still think, you know, I was in the local community and they were saying that they'd actually sold out of nativity sets. And that was great news for me, that people are still focusing on the birth of Jesus Christ. Because without Christ, there is no Christmas. We are celebrating him coming to the earth as a little baby. And I think it is something that very much unites all of us who have a faith or no faith. Mm. That is the reason for the season.
How do you spend Christmas Day? Busy day, I know.
Yes, well, I got up early in the morning, having had midnight mass the night before. Then I get up early in the morning. I stay in Glasslough. I have service. I normally join people in the community where we gather together and we have some food and eat. And then I will return to Lisnaskey to my husband. I'm not quite sure if we're going to have our meal on Christmas Day or whether we might delay it to Boxing Day. But we will have something to eat and have a time of celebration together and opening presents and communicating with the members of the family by phone call or whatever.
What have you asked Santa for Christmas?
Oh, I couldn't possibly tell you. But it's a long list.
Well, one present that came to Glasslough, of course, was the Tidy Towns title.
Absolutely.
Great, great year for the people here in Glasslough. And as you talked a lot there about community, cross-community spirit, and without that, it wouldn't have happened.
Absolutely. Right. Yes, I think not only the leaders of the Tidy Towns, but the whole committee have to be congratulated. There has been a tremendous effort that has gone in to make Glasslough as beautiful a place as what it is. And with all things just don't happen. There's a lot of hard work going on behind the scenes. I know whenever I'm out walking about in the community, you often see even elderly members of the community. And what are they doing? They're picking up pieces of rubbish or they're deadheading plants. as they walk along. So there's a lot of unsung heroes here in Glasslough, all working together to make it a really lovely environment to live in.
And we're celebrating them here on Countrywide this
Absolutely.
Morning. Reverend Lorraine Capper, thank you so much for joining us on Countrywide. Have a great Christmas. And to you too, Alice, as well. Well done and congratulations. And well done to everybody involved in the Tidy Towns. So Glasslough is a tidy village, and Glasslough is also a border village. For listeners at home, if you can imagine the map of Monaghan, this village of Glasslough is near but not on the border. The nearest village to the east is Tynan in County Armagh, and a dozen kilometres north you can cross into County Tyrone at Auchnacloy, and County Fermanagh is 25 kilometres to the west. Now, Silver Hill Foods is a local company based a few miles up the road in Emmy Vale in County Monaghan, neatly nestled between those three counties I mentioned. They have won 3 Exporter of the Year awards this year, most recently the coveted Borbia Export Growth Award for 2019. Now, wait till you hear this. 95,000 ducks are processed every week by Silver Hill Foods. Extraordinary when you think the whole enterprise started with just 6 ducks owned by the Steele family way back. And Micheál Briody is the CEO, and he's with me here. Micheál, good morning.
Good morning, Damien.
Now, some people say Briody, and up around where you come from in Old Castle, you'd be known as Briody, is that right?
That's correct indeed, yes. A few different variations, all right, but I don't get offended by any of them.
Right, Briody is kind of the posh probably pronunciation of it, is it?
Well, maybe so. Maybe yeah. So
you're a Mead man, travelling up and down. You have the great pleasure of travelling through Cavan every day to get to work, so that's one good thing anyway. But 95,000 ducks, who's eating the 95,000 ducks?
Yeah, well, I suppose we're vastly, as the awards that we've won there recently display, we're an export-led company. So 70% of what we do, 70% of that 95,000 is going off the island of Ireland. Predominantly the UK, 40% of what we do goes to the UK, to Chinatown in London, Manchester and Birmingham. We have big markets as well in Paris, Amsterdam. And where our big growth market then is really out in the Far East, in Singapore, Hong Kong. And we're just in the process now of having an audit from Malaysian authorities. So if we can pass that audit and go through the process there, we'll be the first protein processor in Ireland to be able to export to Malaysia. And that will open up a lot of doors for us too, potentially.
That's fantastic for, you know, still a relatively rural part of the country. But you're cross-border, is that right? Just give us a sense of the makeup, like hatcheries, and it's not just all one under one roof.
No, absolutely not. Because we own our own breed, our breeding farm is in Auchnacloy in the north. The eggs out of it are then transported across to our hatchery in the Bragan Mountains, which is in the Republic. And then the day-olds, 28 days later, leave there to go to growing farms either in the north or the south. We would have 10 commercial growing farms in the north of Ireland. We do 12 in the Republic of Ireland. And then, regardless, then on 42 days, then the duck is brought back to the processing plant in Emmyville. And as we say, they are currently in around 95,000 right. a week for processing.
When it comes to food production in this country, you know, animal welfare and the environment are two important considerations now, because we as consumers are placing those demands on you. Is that something you're reflecting and aware of?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, we do a lot of close work with Borbia, specifically in the Origin Green, on improving our sustainability. And right from the very start, the start of our process in the breeding farms, right through every aspect of that, we sort of track our carbon footprint, and we're constantly trying to reduce that. And we have made significant inroads there in a lot of different ways.
You wear a couple of hats. You're involved very much in the Club Players Association of the GAA, and I'll ask you a question about that in a moment. But just when you mentioned the border, is Paddy McQuaid here? Hello, Paddy. How are you doing?
Not too bad.
You worked as a customs officer, and you retired from that back in 1993, and that was because, of course, the single market came along. But tell us, what was your job on the border?
I resented being a customs officer from the word go. I had been, after I left school, I started doing a data processing course, and I got an interview with an employment agency in London, and I was going to be set up in a so-called computer life, until the word came in the post that I had got this customs job, and my mother steered me in the direction of the good, steady job back home. I joined the customs in 1969, probably just at the beginning of the modern-day troubles, and I saw it through until I took voluntary early retirement in 1993. And I can say I saw some hairy things.
Right. And, of course, your job, obviously, was to check goods coming over and back the border and that everybody's papers were correct. But you would have seen a little bit of smuggling as well, I'm sure.
Yeah. I saw a border that I felt was a bit like a colander. You know, I think the system was perforated, and it was very, very difficult to engage or try and counteract that activity, because in order to do so, you had to play the same type of games as the opposition did.
It was an industry around these parts, you could say, for a long time.
It was an industry.
The whole history of smuggling along the border before the single market in 1993, it's probably requires a program of its own with lots more stories. And I know since then you retired and you're back here in Glasslough running your own filling station, and most recently your Drumlin Trails bike business as well. So, Paddy, thanks very much for coming along. So lovely to have you here this morning. Just want to finally, as I said, Micheál, come back to you. You're chairman of the Club Players Association. Are you worried about the future for GA clubs? Emmy Vale, I know, is the local club in this area as well. For club players, are we in danger of seeing kind of an elitism developing within the GA, where you'll have county players and then just the club players? You could say it almost exists anyway, as things stand.
Yeah, it somewhat does exist, but I suppose like it has probably happened unintentionally. Like, you know, the powers in Crow Park and the way the inter-county game has evolved. What we stand for in the CPA is just getting a fairer crack at the whip for all club players. Like, the essence of a lot of villages and towns in Ireland is the GAA community around it, and there is one here in Emmy Vale, which, you know, would have a lot of players. It's halfway between Glasslough and Emmy Vale, the football pitch, and it would have a lot of players from both villages as well. And it's just important that they can sort of play competitive games throughout the summer. And look, will it go towards professionalism? I don't think so.
Well, we're in a kind of a transition period in that regard at the moment. A lot of work done, and maybe, as they say, a lot more to do, fixtures changing and being trialled as well. But anyway, Micheál, you're a busy man, and again, congratulations to Silver Hill, a great local enterprise here, creating a lot of employment and winning awards as well, and I suppose putting Ireland on the map far and wide. And thanks very much for joining us on the programme. Ladies and gentlemen, Micheál Briody, CEO of Silver Hill. Now, we're going to have another piece of music. I'm going to introduce to you now El Condor Pasa. Paddy McGee, who we heard from earlier, along with his grandsons, Benton and Jamie Duffy. Thanks a million, lads, for that. Now, well, this is Drumlin Country, and nestled in the hills outside Glasslough is the dairy farm of local man David Boyd. David, you're very welcome. You're renowned not only in these parts, but indeed right across the country for showing your cattle, but you're primarily a dairy farmer.
Yeah, I suppose it adds a little bit of interest to farming, because sometimes you need some little bit of interest or whatever, and I get a kick out of showing and trying to get a red rosette.
And did you win any rosettes this year?
We've done quite well at local shows, whatever. Last year we had a very big year. We won the very prestigious Bailey's Cow.
Oh, in Virginia, yeah.
In Virginia, yeah.
Yeah, that's another All-Ireland as such.
Yeah, it is really the Sam Maguire of the cow showing world.
Yeah.
We were bridesmaid 4 times before that, so I'm just telling you out there, girls, if you keep being a bridesmaid, you will get to be a bride someday.
Perseverance. How is dairy farming? How has it been this year? Milk price okay?
Dairy farming is okay. It's not, milk price isn't famous, I suppose. We had quite a turbulent year up this year with the amalgamation of Lakeland Lackpatrick, which was the former town of Monaghan. But I think now it's all bedded down, and I think everyone is happy now.
Mm. There's a lot of talk, of course, since milk quotas disappeared about the growth of dairying and, you know, some of the problems that have been created. One that's coming down the road, we spoke about in the programme a couple of weeks ago, is, you know, the amount of dairy calves we're going to have now next spring. As a dairy farmer, are you worried about that, or how are we going to deal with that?
Well, at the moment, I suppose, to put it in context, if you come into our yard the day a calf was born, I'd gladly give it to you for nothing.
Oh, God.
A bull calf. Because
what do I do with it then?
They're worth about €35 when they're 50 kilos weight.
Yeah.
And to get them to be worth €35, they have an awful lot more than €35 consumed.
So is this going to be a bad news story for the dairy sector now next spring?
It's probably a hurdle that, and look at farming is always full of, there's always a new barrier out there, whatever, and it's something we'll just have to get round, or something maybe in a couple of years that you look back on or whatever. We've been through all this before. I remember the time there was stories going, if you went to the mart with 3 cows in the trailer, if you went careful, you'd come home with 5. People were just offloading them to try and get rid of them, you know. And
sneaking them into the back of yours to get rid of them. Yeah.
This is one of those blips again, I think, that we've come to.
Yeah, it's unfortunate indeed as well. David, farming, of course, big industry around here, but Monaghan is full of lots of other smaller little industries as well. It's a very enterprising county, there's no doubt about it. And some of your neighbours are here. Is Trish Murphy Tom there? Hi, Trish.
How are you?
I'm beginning to hum, you know, music from Willy Wonka, because you're the chocolatier, and I actually spotted your beautiful shop on the corner here. Tell us a little bit more about what you do, Trish.
I set up in 2013, started in my kitchen. I moved back from Pembrokeshire in Wales back home and couldn't get a job because obviously the country was in a bit of a state in 2010. I did a chocolate making course for 2 days and just kind of thought, if I can't get a job, then maybe I'm just going to have to create my own. Yeah, so approached Castle Leslie with the idea, and they were very supportive and said, yes, absolutely, we'd love to. I didn't have anything, by the way. Didn't have a product, didn't even have a logo, and they said, yes, Tricia, definitely, you know, we'll support local business. So I went off, and about 3 months later I came back with a 6-pack of chocolates, fresh cream truffles made with Monaghan, it was Monaghan cream at the time, and butter, it's now Lackpatrick, I think, local cream and butter, and a chocolate bar. And in that first year in business then, I won 3 awards with Glass and Heron. So
that's brilliant. Real genuine taste of Glasslough in your company, and a busy time of the year for you.
Very busy time of the year. Yeah, definitely. If it wasn't busy this time of the year now, I'd be crying. But no, very busy. And well, I'm going into partnership now with my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law.
Right.
So I'm training her up at the moment, and she's flying. She's doing
brilliant.
A great job. Yeah, because I look after my dad, who's got MS as well. So he's kind of priority at the moment. And
absolutely.
So took on some family, and so we're going to do the business together. And yeah,
well, it's great that
really
you can do that and stay local as well and
yes,
run a business
in
what is
the
world. And, and beside you there is Patrick Heron. Hiya, Patrick. How are you?
How are you?
You're Ambledown Cottages.
Yeah. That's
now is that kind of a play on the word ramble on down, or where does that come from?
Dumbledown. No. So basically, it's we're a restaurant. I took it over from my father 4.5 years ago. Probably he knew it all and I knew more.
Oh.
So it was just constant arguments. But yeah, so I've been there 4.5 years now. Business is brilliant. I have to say we've had a very, very good year. We have quite a big following with Northern Ireland. So we have a lot of customer base in Northern Ireland. So that would be Cavan Monaghan, Armagh, Belfast as well. So we would...
People are driving to taste your pizza.
Yeah,
wow.
So we have quite a large customer base in that respect.
As I said, you know, it's great to have, you know, yourself there in the middle of the town and Trish as well. Roisin's there. Where's Roisin? I mean, we are in the most beautiful village in the country. And the most beautiful town, the most beautiful of everything. And then, Roisin, you go and win even something more beautiful. How are you?
Hello, how are you?
Good. Tell us a little bit more about the beautiful Glasslaw Award you won for your shop.
Yeah, so excited to win it. Just really delighted.
What's the name of your business?
It's Pocono Glasslock.
Right, and what do you do there? Oh, you sell ice cream, don't
we
you?
We do, yeah.
Did I see the ice cream there? Yeah, I'll be wobbling out of here between the chocolate and the pizza and the ice cream. It's all happening in Glasslaw. And how has it been for you? Do you depend on the good weather?
No, not really. Just a good product. And we started making our own ice cream in the summer, and we're flying from that. And we're doing a second part of a renovation now. And it'll hopefully be done before Christmas, so we'll have a new cafe.
Do you know what? It's great to see yourself and Patrick there, you know, two young people that are able to continue living in this part of the world. Because so many other parts of rural Ireland where, you know, there is nothing actually happening. So it's great that you're here. So Brenda from Busy Bee Pottery. Hiya, Brenda.
Hello. Busy Bee Pottery was set up 10 years ago, originally on my kitchen table. And so basically Busy Bee Ceramics is like a place where I teach pottery to people. Lots of groups, lots of tours. And then I have my own range of work. So, yeah.
I'm looking at you there. I'm looking at everybody here. Everyone has a smile on their face. It's probably the most peaceful village in the country to live in as well, is it?
It is. It's full of sincerity. I think everybody's very relaxed here. If you just kind of look out in the fields, you look at the cows. We're not too far away from that kind of ambiance. So it's a very nice, relaxing place to come.
David Boyd, do you agree with all of that? Is it a help that this place is so peaceful? Is that why your cows win so many awards as well, that they're calm and in the way they walk in front of the judges?
No, that's down to lots of training.
All right. Well, I'll give you that credit as well. Well, another part, of course, of Glasslaw, and a lot of people around the country will know, of course, of Castle Leslie and will at least have heard of Castle Leslie. Castle Leslie enhances Glasslaw, and Glasslaw enhances Castle Leslie. And I'm delighted to say that Sammy Leslie, a hotelier and trustee of the Castle Leslie estate, is here with me. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
How long have the Leslies been in Glasslaw?
In the 1600s, there was quite a gobby bishop who got chased off to the islands in Scotland and then over to Clogher, and he raised a private army against Cromwell when he was bishop of Clogher and Raphoe. And eventually he rode at the age of 90 from Chester to London to the restoration of the king, and he was offered Archbishop of Canterbury, and he said, no, I'm far too old. There's a beautiful lake on the edge of my diocese, and he was given £2,000 for his battle expenses and loyalty and bought the estate.
And when was that, back in the...
That was 1664.
Okay. And, you know, people will remember maybe back 20, 30, 40 years ago when the future of the castle was quite uncertain, but there was a determination there to maintain it and keep it and build it up again, and it's worked.
Yeah, well, from the time of Margaret, Queen of Scots, when Bartholomew Leslie married the king's sister, they were given the family crest of Gripfast. So we've always been told you have to hang on and stick on in there and keep on going. And, you know, in the 60s, there was a big plan with American investors to build a golf course with Robert Trent Jones and a five-star hotel. And they started, I think, Alice Connolly, I think you guys still have the blueprints of it. The work actually all started and the troubles kicked off, and... it was sort of downhill from there on in.
Okay,
survival so mode for quite a number of years.
All right, so the troubles obviously was a problem.
When you think about it, when you're a tourist and you go on holiday, you go to get away from all the stresses of the world. Yeah, you're not going to go somewhere, you know, that's a little bit upside down.
Yeah, because so you're not that far. We're not far. We're only a few miles from the border here, aren't we?
Ditch in the back fields, yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Poor fields.
Tough times, thankfully, behind us and hopefully forever. But you've actually built on rooms, I believe, very recently.
Yeah, we started the tea rooms in, 91 and then just kept going and opened 6 rooms and 14 rooms and 20 rooms in the castle. And we've just opened another 18 rooms in the lodge. And so proud of our builders. We were terrified with tidy towns and it being so close this year and running a big building project, a big construction project in the village. Yeah. And we didn't, thankfully, deduct any points. I think I'd have left the village if I was the one that had lost the point, that lost the tidy towns. Yeah. So yes, we've opened 18 more rooms in the lodge, so there's 50 rooms now. And it's great, and it just brings more and more people to the village. And as you said at the beginning, you know, Glasslough and the estate are sort of part and parcel, and there's no such thing as competition. The more that there's happening here, the more for people to do, the longer they stay, the more they spend, the more jobs that supports, and the cycle continues.
Yeah, it's a great cycle, and when we heard from our small business owners here as well, that's obviously a great advantage to you when you're trying to sell your business, that there is so much of these small businesses right outside the front gate.
Absolutely, and I think we all take great pride in each other's business. I mean, I've known Trish since those first conversations, and it's just an absolute joy to see her grow and Busy Bee as well, and Ambledown gets busier and busier, and Roisin does great ice cream, and it'll just be interesting to see who pops up next. You've got Diane and her fabulous shop where I buy far too much vintage stuff on a Saturday, and you've got the old pub. And
little pub outside the gate as well.
And you've got Barry's Antique Shop, and then I think...
I hope we're not leaving anybody out, but anyway, every business here is fantastic.
Oh, I'm really sorry, there's lots of accommodation as well, and places to stay.
And great farmers as well.
And great farmers. And I think, Louise, please correct me if I'm wrong, I think there was 57 small businesses in the area.
Right.
Two-thirds of Ireland's businesses are small rural businesses, and they're really important to the economy.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, great to see you, Sammy, and have a great Christmas.
We certainly will.
A great 2020 as well, because tourism is the lifeblood, along with the farming, of this part of the world and so many other parts of rural Ireland, and the small businesses that you mentioned as well. So thanks very much
very
to Sammy Leslie, and thank you all, and thank you, David, indeed. Let you back to milk the cows now. Well, apart from the businesses here in Glasslough, of course, this is a very much a sporting area, and I'm delighted to say that Eamon Hackett is here from the local Harriers, Glasslough Harriers. Good morning to you, Eamon.
Morning, Damien. Morning,
how long has the Harriers been going here?
The Harriers was founded in 1945 by Felix Sharry, who is a long-established runner at that stage himself. Mm. One of the history things with Felix is you've heard Roger Bannister, four-minute mile.
That's right.
Well, Felix ran the mile at 4:02. He actually trained with Roger Bannister at that time in 1945.
And I know an awful lot of young athletes from this area, you know, have run in the Irish colours, but obviously from the Glasslough Harriers is where it all started for them.
Yes, we have a very dedicated group of coaches in that. The Kennedy family would be here involved in Glasslough Harriers for years. Noel Kennedy would be a name known all over Ireland with running, and would have coached a lot of young athletes down through the years.
We're in an era now where we're all looking to become fitter and healthier in what we're eating and more exercise. And, you know, the park runs are very popular. We see where the Dublin Marathon now have to introduce a lottery because there's so many people looking to actually get into the marathon. Is there a trickle-down effect at club level? Do you notice that there is a running boom back and has been back for a few years?
Oh, there definitely is. We would have here in County Monaghan 6 or 7 athletics clubs, and every one of them either have a Fit for Life group or they have a senior group that have just basically taken to running. We have park runs here in Rossmore, famous Rossmore Park here in Monaghan on every Saturday morning. We have a local group here that run in Castle Leslie, and it's funny, you were interviewing Sammy there a few minutes ago. So Jack Leslie would be an honorary president, and again, Castle Leslie has been associated with the Harriers from its foundation as well. So yes, there is a strong connection throughout for all the running and people getting fit, and they just want to be that a bit more energy and a bit more fitness as well.
You know? Well, a great way of doing, particularly coming into into the new year is join your local athletic club, and you can be any age. Well, Eamon, have you any races coming up?
We have races all year round. It never stops. So we go from a cross-country season to an indoor season to a track season, and it's just a continuous thing. But without the group and support of everybody in the community, it's just one thing I want to refer to was in the report of the Glasslough Tidy Towns is community and absolute unity. And it's about, mentioned about six times in the report from the adjudicators. And I suppose just Castle Leslie, all of the businesses here are supporting the club. Great. And only for that type of unity and community spirit, Glasslough is, that's what makes Glasslough.
And it's a special year for you next year, your 75th anniversary as well. So happy birthday to you on that. Thank you very much. We're going to leave the last word to you, Eamon Hackett. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Thanks to everybody who spoke to us on this morning's programme and came to visit us here in the Oakland Community Centre in Glasslough. Well, that's all we have time for this week. This week's programme is produced by Eileen Herron. Tom Norton and Pather Carney were on sound. Thanks to the local community here in Glasslough for hosting us this morning, in particular to Louise and Helena, who worked with us setting up this morning's festive show. We're just into December, so it is safe to say now, Happy Christmas to everybody. Coming up after the 9 news here on Radio 1 is Playback. Don't forget Ear to the Ground on RT1 TV on Thursday at 9:30 p.m. But to play us out once more, it's the Glasslough Musical Society. They're accompanied by Paddy McGee, Gerard Toll and brothers Benton and Jamie Duffy. They're going to sing for us Mistletoe and Wine. Until we talk to you at the same time next week, bye-bye and thanks for listening.
Children singing Christian rhyme with lots of